fighting for America.
Mr. President, in 2010, you called the results of the midterm election shellacking. What do you call this?
Obviously, Republicans had a good night.
Fighting for Idaho.
The president continues to act on his own. He is going to poison the well. When you play with matches, you take the risk of burning yourself. And he's going to burn himself if he continues to go down this path.
Fighting for you.
Why isn't our government doing something about this? I'll be the first one to say it. President Obama does not care about postpartum Taylor Swift disorder.
I'm pretty sure that's why the Democrats lost the Senate.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, K. Miller with you, 580 KIDO. Phone number is the phones aren't working today, but we'll continue on. I don't know if it's the NSA. I don't know if it's Alex Jones. I just don't know. But at least we're going to be honest enough with you on that. And we're not going to gripe about the phones, but I like to give you full disclosure here. And Tom Munns is investigating it. Thank you, Greg Pruitt, for this great award from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. As I've said before, if you missed it last hour, they gave us an award for our continued support. But it's people like Greg Pruitt and Tony and you that go out there, instead of staying at home, instead of griping, instead of watching sports, you make a difference. And that's what we're here for. That is our mission, to be your air support, literally. Also, coming up tomorrow, we're going to be at Boise High. Thank you, CapEd Credit Union, for making that happen, promoting our school, securing our future. And Monday, we get rolling in Miller's Mission. Join me for the Treasure Valley Turkey Challenge. We'll be at the Walmart on Garrity and Franklin, asking you to give a turkey, don't be a turkey. Joining us now is Luke Kilcup, president of the Idaho College Republicans. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm all right. Do I sound like I look, or do I look like I sound?
Sound a little better.
I was going to say, people always get this impression of me, and here you have the, I've got the nutty professor look. In honor of you going to college, I thought I would just give you this university look here this morning.
So. Well, I can tell you, you're looking a lot better than most of my professors, that's for sure. Well, speaking right. A little more sense, at least.
There we go. An A zinger there for you this morning. Let's talk a little bit about how old you are and why you're involved in politics. Talk a little bit about that, please.
Okay. Well, I'm a 20-year-old here at Boise State. Mm-hmm. And I guess I got involved in politics about 2 years ago. I had a pretty liberal philosophy teacher my freshman year of college. And there wasn't really an avenue for college students, at least at North Idaho College up in Coeur d'Alene, to express themselves. And so we started a club kind of just so students had a voice and a group they could come to and talk about how they can combat the liberal bias on campus. And then we kind of just moved that down to Boise State and around the state so that students can, fight back against that liberal professor or stop getting beaten up on by the five or six liberal students who think that they know everything that they're, talking about when that's not true. And so that's one of the biggest reasons for me personally. I've just always believed that, limiting government, promoting small business, that's the way that we're going to have a future, especially as millennial generation students. It's not all about, gay marriage and social issues. That's not going to save the future. It's going to be, strong economic policy and
strong economic policy. You're doing this at 20?
Well, I am an economics major, if that means anything. But
all right. Well, I'm going to ask you about the economy because certainly we need some expertise. What's it like for you? And we'll get into the millennials as well. But for you as a young man, you go to college. Your family's very proud of you. You go in. You have your core beliefs. And then you have someone who has achieved an elevated status in education espouse their political views. They're in contrast to yours. And then you have, the progressive insurgents smacking you as well.
Well, when it comes to, moving out of college and actually having to get a job afterwards, it's a little terrifying. But if you take the right steps and you actually apply yourself, not just, go to class and come back and do your homework, but you actually go out and get an internship, get a job while you're in college and set yourself up, then, you're going to be in good shape. But
I mean, when you're in the classroom and the comments go on, I can remember doing that. And I can remember my generation not being as empowered as yours because it's so big and you guys are changing our way of thinking as opposed to the other way around. But What's that like, you know, out of high school, all of a sudden, you got this person, professor, doctor you have respect for, philosophy, and all of a sudden they're saying the lib way is the way to go. And then you disagree and you go back and forth. That can be intimidating for some folks.
Oh, it's terrifying the first time you hear it. You know, they've had 15 years of schooling, and I'm in my first year of college. It's not something that a lot of kids are prepared for. But I respect the teachers when it comes to what they, you know, if you've studied economics or if you studied, you know, jazz or philosophy. But when it comes to politics, I'm allowed to have my own view, and you teaching that in the classroom is disrespectful and inappropriate. And that's something that we're kind of starting to bring up. Not to name any names, but I had a jazz teacher this year who started talking politics first day of class and started talking about the governor and lieutenant governor, and that's inappropriate. And I, you know, stood up and called him out on it very first day of class. It was uncomfortable, but it's something that has to be done, or, you know, they think that's a fact.
How'd you do in the class?
So far, I'm doing all right.
Right?
Know? Yeah, but we'll see how we finish up here with the semester.
Exactly. So you corrected the instructor. What did you say to him?
Well, you know, he was just making some snide comments about, well, if you live in Idaho, then the governor, well, you know, if you don't own a gun, then he'll come to your house and, you know, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, just
right.
Blabbing on about Second Amendment rights and not being able to be gay in Idaho. And I stood
right.
up and I said, none of this is true. All the governor does is protect the Constitution. This is your opinion, and this isn't a political class. And sat back down, and he kind of said, don't have any outbursts in class, and we continued on. But, you know, it drew a lot of attention from other students, and we gained a few members to College Republicans because of it.
All right. At 580 KIDO, we continue on here. Let's talk a little bit about the people in your generation, the older cohort, actually helped elect Obama.
And I agree with you. I think it was we lost by 6 million votes in 2008, or actually in 2012, to Obama, which is terrifying. I mean, the percentages were way off.
Right.
And across the nation, especially, we have the College Republican National Committee with 51 federations similar to what we have here in Idaho. And they actually launched a $2 million field program putting 30 representatives all over the nation in, you know, Arkansas, Kentucky,
and this
Iowa.
Is while you're actually going to school.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And working and doing everything else.
Yeah, and this, you know, there's 51 other kids like me, or if not better, and then 6 or 7 back in D.C. that are just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, the fact that they're going to law school, and then still, you know, working a job that doesn't pay 40 hours a week, it shows the commitment that's needed.
Right.
So, but we've the youth turnout wasn't really anything surprising. We haven't seen any results here in Idaho yet, but across the nation, I think it was 19 or 20% or something like that. But you saw Republicans gain in the youth vote. We may not have won in every state, but we won in Alaska. We won in, you know, the heart of New Mexico. You look at a lot of important states like that, and we saw the youth vote either increase by twofold for Republicans, or we'd actually win.
What do you make of the millennial generation? Is it a liberal generation?
I don't think it's a liberal generation. I think it's a generation that crosses both parties.
Right.
You have, you know, the liberal side of folks that are, you know, okay, if I don't believe in abortion and I don't, or I believe in abortion and I believe in gay marriage. But then when it comes to economic policy or wanting to get a job, everybody wants a job out of college and they realize that the Republican Party is the way to go. So I think it's kind of an interesting, when it comes to politics, I don't think you can label them as liberals. I think you can label them as misinformed. And, you know, they won big on college campuses because Obama came in promising change in every single spectrum but didn't deliver in any of them. And so you're seeing that with voting trends, you know, since 2008. But I wouldn't necessarily say liberal. I'd just say misinformed.
Well, there are a lot of them, but are you surprised with the tenacity when someone disagrees with you? You know, you're a digital native. The old people, like me, are still trying to figure out, you know, the difference between Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram. And yet you have people that may disagree with you that not only will attack you verbally, that will attack you on social media that people can see throughout the world, not just here in Idaho.
Well, I wouldn't, you know, count yourself out. You're pretty savvy. I've seen on Facebook and Twitter there.
And by the way, we tweeted you and tweeted you again just now.
I did see that.
Yes,
I did see that. Well, no, I think that brings a whole other a whole another issue into light. I mean, you have people attacking. We'll post something on, you know, Facebook for college Republicans, and we're on Facebook, Twitter. We have a website. And we'll have people come out of nowhere. We've never met them before. They don't have a college suit. They don't have a kid in college. And they'll come out and talk about how, you know, we had a gentleman say how, oh, you know, if there's a black man that's president, I'm going to go talk with my parents and just complain. And if they tell me not to like it, then I will. And it's just, and they just right. accuse us of all these things that are so, so ridiculous that we just, you know that there's something else going on and that they, you know, they just love to hate people. And,
right.
And, you know, they just, it gives them an easy way to do that.
How do you view, how does your generation, whether it's political, whether it's social, view the traditional forms of media, radio and television? Are those your primary methods, or do you look at something else as far as getting your news, your information?
Well, I'd say radio in the morning. I mean, whenever I'm driving somewhere, radio's going. I wouldn't say necessarily the prime way anymore. Not, you know, I'm a just dangerous. It's a dangerous
right.
place to say that. But
no, that's okay. Just as long as you give us the patronizing. But I listen to you, Kevin, in the morning.
I do listen to you every morning.
Well,
there we go.
Well, thank you.
but TV, it's, you know, I think internet is by far and away the
that's how you guys are wired, right?
Oh, completely.
Right.
I mean, if you want to find something, people necessarily don't know anything about, you know, the big thing is Bin Laden's killer or Ebola, but they go online, they type in Ebola, they read the first article, and they're a professional. All of a sudden, they know everything about Ebola, and
right.
they know how to diagnose it. So that's, I'd say, for the millennial generation, that's the number one way of doing it.
What is the most misunderstood aspect of the millennials by the baby boomers, the World War IIers, the Gen Xers?
Well, I'd say not all of us are lazy. Not all of us watch Netflix every day, all day. And, right. You know, there are a lot of hard workers in the millennial generation and kids that want to get out there, whether they're liberal or conservative. They want to change the world. It's just a lot of them don't stop and learn and don't stop and listen to the older generations.
Who is your political hero?
Oh, man, my political hero. Well, can't really nail it down to one. If I had to talk about three, of course, Ronald Reagan. You can't. You have
but
to
you've
keep
watched
him
through the YouTube, right?
I've watched him through the YouTube pretty right. much every speech he's ever given. Read a lot of books on him.
Sure.
So I worked for Senator Jim Risch. We want to talk about a man that you want to look up to. He's the most conservative senator in the United States.
Right.
And then at a local level, Luke Malik up in Coeur d'Alene.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first person I ever worked for, and just to see his political talent and the way he was able to deal with people and care about the community, that was really inspiring.
That's Tea Party Bob's favorite guy.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Well, if the phones were working, I'm sure we'd be getting a call.
We've gotten like five emails from him waiting to talk to you. So.
Over which one? I'm assuming the last.
Well, let's see. Accountability, this, that, and the other. Ask your guest, will he and his organization hold elected officials accountable? For instance, the current problem with the Wi-Fi contract, which has been null and void because the changes have been made after the fact, or the CECA settlement, which the governor claims not to have influenced. Is that really in the jurisdiction of the college Republicans?
You know, I wish it was, but unfortunately it really isn't. Our primary goal is to, first of all, get Republicans elected in the general election.
Right.
You know, get behind them. We organized lit drops and made phone calls in five major cities during the general election this year.
What was that like, making phone calls to people?
You know, five out of ten times they don't pick up. The other five, it's split between take me off your list, you beepity beepity, versus, oh, I'm already voting, thank you.
Right.
But, you know, it was a pretty good experience. A lot of people had never made phone calls before, so it was
right.
fun to see that. But, yeah. And then, but we don't have any, clearly any jurisdiction over that. We focus on issues at school. You know, Boise State's trying to implement some free speech zones,
right.
which the whole campus should be a free speech zone. And so we're going to hopefully jump on that, get some signs made.
How difficult is that for you, though, with respect, because your primary goal is to get an education,
mm-hmm.
and you worry about backlash, whether it's Billy, the instructor, talking about his own political views, and you correct him, and that A becomes a B, and we're not accusing, but these things happen, and then all of a sudden, you're taking on the university that you one day hope to graduate from.
Oh, yeah. And, well, I would hope that would never happen. I respect all my teachers, regardless of how,
sure,
you know, I don't agree with their political philosophy, but, you know, it's something where if, you know, that ends up happening and then we make it an issue. We call the national committee. They answer the phone. We say, hey, this is happening. Can we get on Fox News about it?
Right.
Can we get on the Kevin Miller Show? Can we get on every single outlet possible?
I don't think you need to call the national committee for us.
No, I could just give you a call.
No, you just feel like the phone doesn't work, so you just come over.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, just come on over.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, we're fairly informal. Yeah.
We'll call them out on it if we think it's discrimination. Luckily, we haven't had really an issue with that yet this year. But if that happens, then you're doing something right, because they're worried about not being able to influence kids in their class.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. It is K. Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Luke Hilcup joining us, president of the College Republicans. Luke, one thing about your generation that you're going to have to deal with is and previous generations as well, but yours, because you have such a large group, the largest age group ever in American history, even exceeding those of the baby boomers, is the student loan problem, that ticking time bomb. And unfortunately for your generation, we don't have the numerous employment opportunities that we've had before, because we've offshored jobs, we've done things. So it's going to be a bigger challenge to pay off that student debt. From your perspective, from the perspective of the millennials, how big of an issue is that?
Oh, I think it's a huge issue. It's one of the biggest issues that we're dealing with here in Idaho, as well as, you know, nationwide. There's a few different ways that, you know, personally, and I don't speak for everybody, but for myself, that I say, you know, you can deal with the situation. First of all, I don't think it's the government's job to pay back student loans. I think it's something where it's, you know, I've been lucky enough to where I've been able to work and help pay for my student loans. My family's been able to help. We've had to take a little bit of money out. It's about making it through it. But is the investment really worth what you're going to get after college? And sometimes yes and sometimes no. I think college is an unforgettable and great experience. But it's not for everybody. And I'm very blessed to be here. But, you know, whether or not that's trade schools or working right out of college or going to the Army, Navy, that is a better investment at this time, maybe not in 10 years. But at this time, then going to college for 4 years and racking up, you know, not so much here in Idaho, but $80,000 worth of debt at the U of I. And, I mean, that's ridiculous. It takes
scary.
Years to pay. Yeah, it's terrifying. And, you know, we look at college students who think $100 is a ton of money, and it is. But $80,000, that's terrifying to us. So.
Well, and to pay that back with interest and everything else, and you have people in their 60s that are actually have paid off their homes but haven't paid off their student loans.
And I'm not looking forward to that, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's always a great career in radio. Linda, good morning. You're at 580 KIDO. Hello, Megan Kelly. How are you?
I am super fine, Mr. Miller. How are you?
Living the dream, baby.
Good. Luke, what do you think of the idea of
an open
enrollment in a gun safety class for kids or your kids, guys that are your age?
Well, I think, open enrollment, I think that's great. I mean, as many people as we can get out there trained on safely on guns, I mean, the safer they'll be. I mean, I think it's one of the rights that we're given and the rights that we should practice as Idahoans and Americans.
What do you have to say to somebody who comes up and tells you that that's a hill of beans and we shouldn't be regulated and we should be able to do whatever we want? And let's face it, there are people who don't deserve to put their hands on guns. I know that one.
Well, and I'm sure there are those people. I wouldn't be the one to tell you who and who can't, of course.
No, I know.
But no, I'd say, you know, for people that want to regulate too much, you could say, well, here's the Second Amendment. Until that changes, you have a population here in Idaho who agrees with it, and that's how it's going to be. And for people that, you know, necessarily shouldn't be holding guns, I think there needs to be a process for that. But I'm not one to comment on that necessarily.
Okay, well, because my grandfather, God bless him, taught me to shoot when the summer I turned 12. And I was not allowed to put a live shot through that .22 rifle until I could take it apart, clean it all up, put it back together again. And once was not enough, but it was about five times before he would allow me to even aim it at a tin can, let alone pull the trigger.
Well, Linda, thank you for that. You have a good day.
Okay, Kevin. Thank you.
All right. Our great friend Linda from Emmett. Here he is, the tenacious Tea Party Bob at 580KIDO.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Aside from the phones, you know, when you can't say what you want to say, it gets a little annoying.
Well, then you email it.
Well, we did that.
You're not going to get the last word with him.
You don't think so, right?
I know.
You know, I've been in contact with the College Republicans and the YAL leaders for the last year or so. I haven't had an opportunity to meet with you, but I have met some with some of your colleagues, and I'm happy to see that millennials are getting an interest in government and getting involved, because we haven't had an awful lot of that in the past history. I know there's been organizations out there, but, you know, when I see the growth of the YAL and I see some things happening with College Republicans, that tells me that at least you are engaged and you are going to be the largest group of people in the United States that are going to be voters. I only have one worry, and that is, are the millennials going to be influenced, and not just the millennials, but people like the College Republicans, YAL leaders, because College Republicans are on one side, YAL are on the libertarian-type side. Are you going to be influenced by the people that you work for and the people that you're doing things for in the elections? Are they going to actually be able to influence you so that we wind up with another, quote, group of cronies, unquote, instead of some actual free thinkers?
Well, I guess, of course, if you're working for somebody, you're going to be influenced by them. We have, you know, a bunch of people working, whether it's for Senator Crapo, Senator Risch, or just representatives all around the state. And so I'm sure they share ideology with that person, and it will only continue to, you know, be more so as they work for them longer. But I'd say no. What we try and do is, as a group, as a federation, especially during the primaries, which we know here in Idaho were pretty divisive, between whether you want to call it Tea Party and mainstream or Libertarian mainstream, however you want to get into it. What we did as College Republicans is we just pointed people. If somebody came to us and said, hey, I want to get involved on this campaign, then we'd say, here's their contact information. We were not as active because we're advocating a very big tent. But when it came to the general elections, we were behind Republicans, and that's why we're here. We're College Republicans elected to get Republicans elected, or to get Republicans elected here in Idaho and across the nation. When it comes to cronyism and the people that you're talking about, those aren't issues that we get into. And of course, if there's, you know, something that really catches our eye that we look at it and we see that's, you know, that's not something we agree with, that's not how politics should be practiced, then of course we're not going to root for that candidate or support that candidate by making phone calls and doing all that. But until we see that, then we're going to support Republicans until they, you know, until they win like they did overwhelmingly on the 4th.
So you actually go out and vet your candidates and look at their voting records. Is that correct?
No, yes, sir. And we encourage people that actually work for those candidates to do the same.
Okay, you and I need to have a conversation one of these days.
What is this, Tea Party Bob conversation time?
Kevin Miller, I'll be down there bringing you food next week. Be nice to me.
You got a point. Yeah, you should come join us at the Garrity Walmart.
There we go.
After 9 o'clock, the show gets – that's when the real show starts.
That's true. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you, Tea Party Bob.
Take care. Have a good day.
All right. We appreciate it. Final thoughts?
No. I mean, really, it's been great. Thank you, of course.
Oh, I have to have you back. Definitely.
Yeah, of course. We're working on a few things over this over this next semester. We're going to start getting into high schools all around the state and getting them trained up so when they come to college, you know, they're not as surprised. But, yeah, we're just going to keep fighting the fight. We're opening up two new chapters at LCSC up in Lewiston and then down in Twin Falls at CSI. Very different, you know, parts of the state, liberal and conservative, and yet they, you know, there's still a bunch of interest in both. So we're excited, and, yeah, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, brother. Have a good one.
Yeah, same to you. Thank you.
You're listening to 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, the Manly Man segment. Dave Burnett with us, diligently working the traffic center, lots of school closings. lots to talk about. And I suppose I should say I was wrong. You were right.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I didn't have my headphones on. What was that?
I was wrong. You were right. Finally, the weather people get something right. Of course, they said 2 to 3 inches. And as I am obsessed with thinking about you last night, don't take your work home for you. Not once, but twice shoveling. And Mrs. Miller says, you know, you shouldn't shovel again. That's when men have heart attacks. I go, look, it's going to be bad. And this morning, had to go out there 20 minutes to scrape everything off. Again, I'm thinking of Dave Burnett, had to get rid of the Crocs, got my boots on. And I go, he was right. I was wrong. We all have opinions. But you got me on that one. You get three ringy dingies. 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
You called it.
This is a moment that I just kind of sit back and bask in the glow. And I do have to warn you right up front here. I was almost not going to be able to join you on this segment, but I may have to duck out. If I do, I'll let you know.
I kind of figured.
I kind of got everything handled. Right
I now, was though. Surprised that you could join us, just considering all the stuff that is going on. And boy, now.
Well, I got in here at 3:30 to start on it all this morning. So,
you know, I'm not used to the actual real working. I was tuckered out. I didn't wake up till 3:15. So you were already in rolling.
Yeah.
So, how was your drive in, by the way?
You know, and again, you may mock me for having a big four-wheel drive truck. That's why I had it. I drove in fine. You know, I had no problems. Now, the good news is, at 3:30 in the morning, there's no traffic.
Well, I will tell you.
Or there's minimal traffic.
I will tell you. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, a close to a East Coast driving experience this morning driving in.
Yeah.
I left my usual time, and you're going to love this one, okay?
Why'd you leave your usual time?
Well, I actually started earlier, but I started earlier, but it took me literally 20 minutes to get the snow off the car.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on my way in, and I keep thinking to myself, okay, if I just make it to Eagle Road, the roads will be good. If I just make it to Eagle Road, the roads will be good. If I just make it to... Ooh.
They're okay. That's about the best I can tell you. They're okay.
Oh, yeah. I got some good ones. It's just not the road report I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
I had this guy in this little 4-cylinder car tailgating me, and I'm going Old State Street. So what do you think is a safe speed? About 40 miles an hour, maybe?
On State Street this morning?
Mm-hmm.
25.
Okay.
20. I would recommend going no more than 25, seriously.
Right. I'm not saying I'm a tough guy, so I'm going 35.
Yeah, that's way too fast.
Okay, so I got this guy tailgating me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to pull over, and we get to this thing. He swerves and fishtails and goes woo, 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 right on that left that you take to go to Eagle High School.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, no one's on the road, so he's fine. So about 200 yards down the road, he's at it again with a big truck behind him. And so I politely got out of the way, and I'm going, he's nuts. People are bleeping crazy.
Yeah. And that's why I say people go 25. It's because when you're in the snow and the traction, you're doing good. But when you hit those spots that are maybe there could be a culvert under the road that you don't see and it's frozen, it's like a sheet of ice under it. You know, I don't mind. Packed snow is fine to drive in. That's no issue. It's when you get to those intersections that are all slicked over. You know, they just get bad out there. But, and like I said, state dispatcher saying triple your commute times. You know, that's probably just a safe thing to say. And as we go through traffic, I mean, what's difficult is I could give you a laundry list of car accidents that are out there, but, you know, it's people bumping into the guardrails or being idiots and spinning out. So we're going to try to keep the major problems, the major injury accidents could really back you up. Otherwise, just plan on tripling your time. I will say this. In fact, you can go to our website, 580kido.com. The school closure list is up there. Easier to tell you what's would be open, which I don't think any of the schools are open. I think everybody is shut down for the day, which was a wise call on the school's parts today because it's a mess out there.
It is a mess. And here's the other thing. I didn't tell you about what happened again. So I got the other extreme. I'm on my way in right by the Capitol. I got Too Slow Jimmy in their Nissan Pathfinder. And they're like it's almost like it's a NASCAR race. I'm over on the right-hand lane. They swerve to the left, so I'm going to try and get by them. Then they swerve back to the right. Then they swerve to the left. Then they swerve back to the right. And then they the light goes green, and they just sit there.
Like, spinning?
Yeah. No, yep. No.
Oh, they just
don't
didn't
move.
Go. Okay.
They're petrified by the snow. And I'm going, hey, it's go time in 5 minutes, people. Plus, there was a car wreck yesterday afternoon on Chinden over by the new hoity-toity thing to Highway 16, Old State or New State Street, Old State Street.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy just went right off the road. Boom. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is, welcome to Snowvember, everybody.
Man.
Yeah.
I would say just stay home.
If you can, I would do that, or delay your commute in, or just prepare yourself that it's going to take a while. I mean, crews are out. They have been out working overnight. I know State Street was actually in pretty good shape until you got right around the Capitol building down toward the hospital, and it was like, whoa, get out the sled dogs. Nothing's been done here. So they've been working. They worked and prepped yesterday. I mean, that's a tough thing. Nobody's going to want to say, good job. Everyone's going to say, you moron, I could do better than that. But they've been out working them, getting the things plowed out and doing okay.
Well, as I saw last night where they were scraping the pavement, I'm going, heh, yeah, that's nice. What happens when it really goes bad? That's what happens. Of course, it's tough to keep up with.
Well, it is. I don't care where you're at if the weather's going to do this. So, you know what? They're doing a good job. Just take your time. And it's going to be okay. If you don't take your time, it won't be.
I knew I was in trouble. I got done shoveling, and it was already like a tenth of an inch had already come down.
Yeah, I got out and I shoveled, and I have a gal that lives next to me. She's a widow, and I went out and shoveled her walk. She's quite elderly, and got that all done for her. And then I came back. Oh, hang on here, half a second. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. I had to get that information. But, I get back in, and my wife then pulls in the driveway, goes, I thought you shoveled, you said you shoveled the walk. I said, I did. Mm-hmm. I said, well, the neighbor's Ruby's is in good shape. Yeah, I said, I just finished hers.
Right.
But mine was that bad again that quickly. It's like, okay. So I went back out and scraped her down again, called it good.
Man, 50 school districts so far.
I would say everybody. I know CWI is going to have delayed openings. We have not heard anything about BSU's classes as of yet. That's kind of the only one I was waiting for. But everybody else from, and don't be confused on the list. If you go to our website, on the list, it says West Ada. And somebody called me and said, what about Meridian? That is Meridian. West Ada used to be called Meridian School District. So they are closed as well. But I think BSU is the only one I don't think I have here.
Well, they've got the stadium lights on.
They do. Boy, it's bright, too. It is just absolutely bright. They're overworking the field over there. So try to keep that in shape, because they got a game there tomorrow night. And we have high school games tonight. I can't wait to see the beach tonight. It's going to be fantastic.
I was hoping that, wouldn't that be great if they had the game tonight?
The BSU one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, San Diego State would be just, I'm sure San Diego State probably got to town last night just going, oh, my goodness.
What did we get ourselves into?
Exactly. But, yeah, we've got Wayne and I are doing a game on the beach tonight at the Mountain View, so that'll be exciting.
It'll be cold.
Well, I'm in the press box. I'm good.
They heat the press box? It's not one of those old ones?
There's a heater in it. I hope it works. But it's inside, so we're out of the wind and the elements.
I see. Well, yeah, better than being on the field. Of course, it's great for the players once you get warmed up, but if you're not a player.
Yeah, but and that field is bad as it is. The players refer to it as the beach because there is so much sand in it where the grass has been bad. And now they got snow on top of it. That's going to be wild.
It is going to be a wild day if we can get through this commute.
Yep. So we'll try to keep you informed on what's going on around the world, because there's lots of stuff going on around the world, some strong-arming in our government. We'll try to keep you up to date on the roads and your driving conditions. I would just say triple your driving conditions this morning as far as times. At least take a good 15, 20 minutes to clear your car off. Don't just scrape a little hole. Get out there with a broom like I did. I've got a big push broom, and I use it just to push the snow off my truck. So use a broom, get that all off of there. Make sure your taillights are clear, your headlights are clear, and just take it easy and give some extra space. And here's the biggest advice I give. people give space. They'll give some space in between. Please do not try to slip into that space in between thinking, oh, look at all the room, and then hit your brakes. That happens a lot. That's, as I watch the traffic, that is probably where I see more accidents of people thinking, oh, look at all the space in between these cars. I'll slide in here, and then you hit the brakes, and the guy behind you runs right into you. That's
not good.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest mistake I see people making watching these. So it's fascinating. I have about, I got about 80, 90 traffic cams in front of me. I get it watched, and it is fascinating watching people driving. I could just say that. I could sell tickets to this morning.
I can tell you're kind of in a jovial mood.
Well, you know, I was just talking to Larry Gebert. You know, this is the days we lived for. I said, Larry, the amount of work you're having to do today makes up for all of the sunny and 90 degrees today as we're looking at the high pressure bubble. So today's having to work.
Man, you are just giddy today.
I know. I'm on my fourth cup of coffee. I am jacked, ready to go.
Maybe the company will bring in some chicken soup for us today.
I don't know if the company's going to make it. We've already had some of the slappies.
The company's going to make it.
We've had some of the slappies down the hall go called in. I'll go ahead and call them out right now. There's one of the morning shows down here. The gal, she works very hard, drives a Jeep, gets to work early, does good. And then the slappy guy drives this sports car, this old muscle car, rear-wheel drive. And she comes in and goes, how much you want to bet I get a phone call or a text? He's not coming in.
Wow.
Here it comes. I'm going to be late. My car doesn't drive very good. Well, duh. When you get in a muscle car in the winters in Idaho, for crying out loud. Get something to drive. What do you drive? Camry?
I drive a Camry front-wheel drive.
Yep, you'll be in a pickup before you know it. You'll be cutting a deal saying, you know, maybe one of those four-wheel drive pickups, not such a bad idea.
Hello, Mr. Peterson.
Traffic now, Kevin. I'm just going to tell you this. It's going to be a slow, heavy commute.